For those of you who do not know, my name is Father Kevin Harmon. I am your new associate. Father Luke, for the last 6 years at seminary, has told me the priesthood is not about me, so I won't preach about myself. I won't try and canonize myself. You will be disappointed. Paul, in his epistle today, he says, "For freedom, Christ set us free. So stand firm and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." The yoke of slavery, which Paul mentions, is twofold. It is the burden of sin, and it is slavery to Satan. And from both of these, Christ, through his redemption, has saved us. Everybody who is stained by original sin is imprisoned to Satan. That is why our Lord calls Satan the prince of this world, and Paul calls him the Lord of this world. We gave him dominion when we sinned. The Lord, through his life, his death, his resurrection, and ascension into heaven, has ransomed us, rescued us from Satan. It's why at the beginning of baptism, there's actually a prayer of exorcism. And it mentions casting out Satan and rescuing man from the kingdom of darkness. For through Christ, we have been set free. But Christ's redemption also removes the burden of sin. Now, sin, by definition, is a turning away from God and a turning towards a creature. Turn away from God, and you turn towards a creature. I don't know about you guys, but usually I'm the creature I'm turning towards in my selfishness. St. Augustine used to talk about sin as sort of an inward turn. So when Christ redeemed us from sin, he did the opposite. He turned us away from creatures and back to God. And if you look at his life, it's a perfect example of this. His crucifixion, he gave up power. He gave up comfort. He gave up wealth. He gave up even his friends. He died completely to himself so that he could offer himself fully to God the Father. And through that, he restored our union with God. And we call this union with God sanctifying grace. Many times when people think of sanctifying grace, there's a tendency to sort of think of it like a ticket, like a train ticket. It's like, yeah, if you got sanctifying grace, you can hop on the train to heaven. That would be incorrect. That notion is too subjective. It's too superficial. And God is many things, but he is not superficial. Sanctifying grace is deeper than that. It's actually a supernatural reality. It's a supernatural state of being. It's objective. It's real. That's why when Scripture talks about sanctifying grace, it talks about a rebirth. It talks about God dwelling in the soul. It talks about adoption as sons and daughters of God. It talks about union with God. These are all states of being, objective facts. But sanctifying grace is more than even that. By nature, as you know, we are made in the image and likeness of God. The medievals, they like to say that our bodies are vestigia Dei, literally the footprints of God. And our souls are the imago Dei, the image of God. The sanctifying grace makes us like God. We partake of his attributes. We partake of his goodness. We partake of his perfection, of his knowledge, of his love. We partake of his immortality and his eternity. You see this especially in the kingdom of heaven when this flourishes to everlasting life. Through sanctifying grace, we are assimilated to God. We have a physical communion with God. That's why communion makes sense. It's also why we call mortal sin, mortal sin. John, in his epistle, he calls it sin unto death. Mortal sin is not some arbitrary thing. It's not like the church is mad at you because you broke one of their laws. It's because mortal sin destroys in your soul that supernatural state of being. If you think about it, God gave us tremendous power. God, who cannot die, allows us, through our free will, to destroy the divine life within us. When we sin mortally, it's like we appear before God and we say, Lord, thank you for the rebirth. Thank you for coming dwelling in my soul. Thank you for adopting me as son. Thank you for uniting me with yourself. Thank you for allowing me to partake of your divine nature and infinite good. But I don't want any of that. I'm going to push that back into your face, and I'm going to reject it. And instead, I'm going to choose some creature, some vanity, some finite good. So obviously, we don't want to do that. That's why Paul says to stand firm. I think we stand firm by, first of all, recognizing our dignity. Recognize what you have been given through Christ. If you saw how beautiful your soul was in a state of grace, you would never sin again. I am certain of that. Realize what sin makes you give up. Realize the graces God has given you. And realize, above all, that He has set you free. And do not go back to slavery, but live in the freedom of Christ.